Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you're listening, you are having a great start to your Tuesday. Hopefully, you were able to enjoy Martin Luther King Day in whatever capacity that included. Obviously, you know, yesterday's Martin Luther King Day, one of the more significant, if not the most significant games of the regular season on the Grizzlies schedule year in and year out. It was another significant day yesterday. Obviously, it carries a bit more significance with all that's been going on over the past year, but certainly a day of celebration and, you know, just recognizing the overall historic and wonderful life and significance of Dr. King. Obviously, a great day in the city of Memphis. Despite all that's going on right now, in whatever way you were able to make the most of it, hopefully you did. And I can tell you this, one thing that added to the enjoyment of the day for all of us was the Grizzlies making the most of their opportunity, winning their fifth straight game. And in my opinion, what is their most significant win of the season with the talented team that they were facing in the Phoenix Suns? A big win for the Grizzlies, who continue to play their style of basketball. But not only are they succeeding with their style of basketball, they're making the teams that they play their style of basketball as well. And we'll get into that in the first segment. I'll discuss why the Grizzlies were able to find, you know, a victory despite a slow start against the Suns. In the second segment, if you're feeling a bit of deja vu watching these Memphis Grizzlies play this winning style of basketball over the past five games, I'll tell you why you're not alone and why it's plenty valid. And in the third segment, we'll discuss some of the lineup options that Coach Taylor Jenkins is finding, you know, that's working for him. He's been he's customized the lineup looks a lot based on the matchups that's been playing, and we'll discuss why it worked in yesterday's game and has been working over the past few weeks. You can obviously find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever it's available, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to your podcast, that's where we will be available. Obviously, what was available yesterday was a Grizzlies victory, despite a lot of storylines surrounding the game due to COVID. Obviously, Jonas Valanciunas being out. Obviously, the Grizzlies, though, did have Ja Morant back. But, of course, you know, the Suns coming into the game as well, their first game in quite a while that the Suns were involved in the game with the Washington Wizards, in which the Wizards, who are now up to seven positive COVID tests on their roster, the Suns played the Wizards in that game. So the Suns had not played in quite a while. And there was some speculation as to whether or not this game would even go on, especially with the fact that, you know, the Grizzlies had a bit of issues, you know, with COVID potentially out of Saturday's game. But the game did go on, and it obviously was a game in which there was a lot of significance there for the Grizzlies. Despite Martin Luther King Day, despite all the storylines off the court, it was an opportunity for the Grizzlies to really see where they stood for the second straight game against one of the better teams in the NBA. Well, the Suns quickly, you know, made sure that it was known as to why they were one of the best teams in the NBA. Though both teams did struggle in the first quarter, the Suns were able to set the tone from three, something that they've been able to do very well to start this season. As they were 5 of 10 from three, the Grizzlies were only 1 of 7 in the first quarter of the game, and that's what allowed the Suns to be able to get out to a 24-18 lead. But the thing about the Grizzlies is their resiliency that was mentioned several times in the post-game press conference. The Grizzlies' resiliency, especially with their bench, being able to get back into the game, and that's what allowed for them to really get going in this game. Once the second quarter began, the Grizzlies were able to find their rhythm. They still struggled, you know, as the Suns did as well, but both the Grizzlies and the Suns went back and forth when it came to, you know, shots, but the Grizzlies were able to find little runs in which they were able to find success. They were able to keep their defense going. They were able to make life tough on Devin Booker. That's one big development that really played into the Grizzlies' factor, even from the first quarter on. There was an instance during the first quarter in which Devin Booker went up for a shot, was trying to get the foul. Obviously, he did not get the call and got a technical call on him for throwing the basketball against one of the barriers around the court. It just seemed like that it may not have necessarily been the Grizzlies themselves, but Devin Booker was not in his game. Something was keeping him from really getting going. And overall, 5 or 21 from the field, only 12 points, didn't really find another way to contribute. He was a non-factor for a lot of the game, and that really, really was a big benefit for the Grizzlies, because as we know, the Grizzlies' defense, and we'll get into a second why it did shine through, the secret to the success of this Grizzlies' defense has been the ability to create turnovers, the ability to get rebounds to their guards, you know, the ability to create havoc and create extra possessions for themselves by leading to turnovers through steals and deflections. But this Grizzlies team hasn't really had a lot of success when it comes to truly stopping a star-level scorer. That's what they did in this game on several different levels. It wasn't just being able to limit Devin Booker to 5 of 21 from the field. It was also not allowing Chris Paul or DeAndre Ayton to make up for Devin Booker's lack of scoring. Though Paul and Ayton were able to get it going in the fourth quarter, the Grizzlies were able to keep Paul or Ayton from really having a long stretch in where they established, you know, any type of dominance over the game. So the Grizzlies did take a step forward defensively that we had not seen, you know, consistently from their other wins, and that they were able to stop the star players for the Suns, something that certainly was a benefit, you know, to their cause in order to win this game. But another area of improvement where the Grizzlies really did shine through was their three-point shooting. Now, overall, the Grizzlies, you know, were not, you know, just too impressive on that. They were 11 of 26 from three. The Suns were actually 15 of 39. But the big difference for the Grizzlies was that they were able to get good shots from the second quarter on that really allowed their offense to keep afloat. The Grizzlies in the first quarter were 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. From the second quarter on, they were 9 of 19. A big reason why was the play of Grayson Allen and Desmond Bain. We'll get into them a bit more in the third segment. But their contributions from three really allowed for the Grizzlies to have that as a support for their overall effort to get into the lane. And that's why the accuracy from three-point land was important in last night's victory. 9 of 19 from the second quarter on, the Suns made clear, they made it clear from the get-go, they were not going to allow Ja Morant and others to get into the lane. As we noticed, you know, just, you know, last Wednesday, the Grizzlies set a franchise record, 4 points in the paint with 80. It's no secret that the Grizzlies are finding success getting into the paint, and that's their preference. They want to get into the paint, that plays to the strengths of their roster, and the Suns just were not having it. The Suns, who have been a surprisingly good defensive team, made it a nightmare for the Grizzlies to try to get into the lane. And the Grizzlies still found success through floaters, through some good passing, you know, through adjusting their offense. But the Grizzlies were also able to find good shots from three, and they were able to make them, something that they have not consistently been able to do, but it really shined through in supporting this Grizzlies team. The other big thing about it for the Grizzlies, though, in the third and fourth quarter was the fact that they kept their composure. In this game, there seemed to be a bit of tension. There seemed to be a bit of back and forth between both teams. Obviously, with Devin Booker and Chris Paul involved, they both have a history, you know, with, you know, causing a bit of issue in Memphis in the past. But this team kept their composure, and that really, really is a strong, strong indication of just how in sync and mature this team is, especially with starting such young players. You had Xavier Tillman, Desmond Bane, Grayson Allen, Ja Morant. The Grizzlies clearly were the much younger team in this matchup, and they still kept their composure and found ways to win. And even though the Grizzlies were not able to really ever get going, you know, with a strong stretch of offensive performance, they found ways to win. Ja Morant's ability to set up his teammates. A lot of people were talking about after the game, Ja Morant's pass from underneath the basket to Grayson Allen to hit the three to give the Grizzlies the lead. But that was one of three or four times yesterday where Ja Morant made a perfect pass trying to drive into the lane and threw it out to a three-point shooter and set up his shooter. There was one play where Kyle Anderson was at the top of the key. Ja threw the pass back. Kyle literally had set himself and had started his form before the ball got there, and the ball was placed perfectly to allow for him to continue his motion to shoot and make the three. So Ja Morant, though his scoring was not there, he was able to get into the lane and still make a difference with his passing. Another big thing for the Grizzlies, obviously, was their free throw attempts as well. But overall, the Grizzlies stayed true to their form. They created another night where they created 18 turnovers, still finding success. And another big, big key in this game, 7 or more players in many statistical categories contributed. Seven or more players scored in double digits when it came to points. Seven or more players had one or more steals. Seven or more players had multiple assists. The other big thing about the Grizzlies, and we'll talk about this a bit tomorrow, the other big thing that really stood out about this Grizzlies team is that they are continuing to play together as a team, and everybody is contributing across the board. Just an overall very good performance for Memphis, and I know that I and others have mentioned that one thing that has, you know, really helped the Grizzlies out, they've avoided facing the stars on other teams. They played a weak schedule. They've been able to win winnable games. But the thing is about this game, the Suns were at full strength when it came to their roster. All their stars played, and the Grizzlies, despite arguably without three of their five players available, the Grizzlies were able to find a way to win. And this time around, unlike what they ran into against Minnesota, where they let the star players score but still find a way to win, this was the second straight victory in which the Grizzlies really limited the overall ability of their opponent's star players to make a difference. So we knew coming into this game that the defense was going to create havoc and chaos, but it's taken one step further in the last two games, facing some really good talents. Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris Saturday night, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton on Monday. This Grizzlies team now has taken the next step forward. Yes, they're creating havoc on defense, but they're also now finding ways to keep the best talents on the opposing team at bay to give them a chance to win. So winning through defense, winning through turnovers, and finding ways to win as a team. If that sounds familiar, it should. Coming up, I'm going to talk about how if you've got a bit of deja vu watching this Grizzlies team through their five-game winning streak currently, not only are you not alone, but it's a very valid point. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Football season is obviously coming to the end when it comes to the NFL, but thankfully, we are in the midst of the playoffs. And of course, it's the most exciting Sunday of the year. Conference Championship Sunday is right around the corner. But of course, we all know, every one of us loves to have fun watching football. But what if you were able to add to that fun? What if you could make a little bit more of it because you're making a little bit of money in the process? Well, we've got the one place for you to go and the one place for you really to trust when it comes to your wagers or bets on sports, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Listen, college football season is over. The NFL season is almost over, but betonline.ag, no matter the sport that you enjoy or the team that you cheer for, it's got you covered, all sports included. Basketball's getting started up. The NHL's getting started up. Eventually, baseball will be back. However you choose to wager a bet, betonline.ag has you covered. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus, hashtag BetOnline. East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News, and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Rommel, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day, coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Speaking of Locked On Grizzlies hosts, coming up later this week, former Locked On Grizzlies host Mark King will join the show. We will discuss, obviously, the start of the season success for the Grizzlies and what exactly does it mean for potential moves to really try to enhance the Grizzlies' ability to go to the playoffs, which seem to be coming more and more clear into view for this Grizzlies team. I'll go in depth with that with Mark later on this week here on Locked On Grizzlies. So this Grizzlies stretch of success, five straight wins, obviously, you know, we've discussed the secret to their success, and that is certainly, you know, their defense, their ability to create extra possessions, their ability to not let their opposition get into rhythm, their ability to allow for their defense to be a way for them to, you know, turn their defense into offense through turnovers, you know, getting long rebounds, getting out on the run. It really has shined through for the Grizzlies. But there are some eye-catching stats when it comes to the Grizzlies' ability to win recently. They're not doing it, you know, in a way that you would expect in today's NBA. For instance, right now, the Grizzlies, you know, since they have had this five-game winning streak, going back to January 8th. From January 8th until now, you know, the Grizzlies are 19th in points per game at 109 points per game. They are last in the NBA by a significant margin in three-pointers per game when it comes to nine threes. So, you know, in today's NBA, if you're 19th in scoring over a certain stretch and you only are shooting nine threes per game, how the heck could anybody be 5-0? Well, the reason why the Grizzlies are able to do it is because they're playing to the strengths of their roster. A couple of areas where they are leading the league is they're leading the league in terms of steals per game. They actually are able to find success through the steals that they're producing through game. They also are fourth in defensive rating when it comes to their past five games. So this literally has been a top five defensive team. You can talk about the quality of opponents that they've faced, but a Minnesota Timberwolves team that's at full power, a Philadelphia 76ers team that even though they were without a couple of key contributors, still is one of the better teams in the league, and this Suns team, those are quality opponents that the Grizzlies have really limited from getting into the rhythms, and as we mentioned, have now started to, you know, really, you know, stop the effectiveness of the teams that they're facing star players. So fourth in defensive rating over this stretch of time. But a couple of other key things that really stand out is that the Grizzlies are also top 10 in the league when it comes to points in the paint. They're top 10 in the league right now over that stretch when it comes to fast break points. They're top 10 in the league when it comes to limiting their opponent's ability to score off of second chance points. So a team that is finding the majority of its success through defense, creating extra possessions by creating turnovers, limiting the extra possessions of its opposition by rebounding well, and finding success by getting into the paint, all while, you know, being below average when it comes to scoring as well as shooting the three. Does this not sound familiar? Does this not sound like a place where we've been before, a strategy that maybe you wouldn't think would lead to success, but certainly has? This is a modern version of the grit and grind. That is exactly what this is. Now, it's not the same thing. Obviously, when the Grizzlies had Tony Allen, Mike Conley, Mark Gasol, and Zach Randolph, it was an inside-outside philosophy. They were zagging while the rest of the NBA was zigging. However you want to describe it, that Grizzlies team was finding success by being physical, by rebounding, by playing good defense, and then finding just enough offense off of turnovers, off of efficient play and things such as that to be able to win games. That's exactly what this current Grizzlies team is doing. They're creating extra offense by getting turnovers on defense. They're finding ways to limit the extra possessions of their opposition, and they're able to get into the paint, and that's what's allowing for them to find success. And the thing about it is that this iteration of the Grizzlies team that, you know, it right now is playing to a grit and grind level of success through a grit and grind philosophy like the past, is that, you know, the general ways in which they're finding success are certainly there. But while it was Gasol and Randolph's influence that really made the grit and grind era effective in those certain areas, it's the Grizzlies playing to the strengths of their guards. A strength of this guard unit for the Grizzlies is not their three-point shooting. It's their energy, it's their cohesiveness, it's their ability to disrupt on defense and then get into the lane and operate on offense. And that's why this Grizzlies team is finding so much success. So while it's modernized, because as the overall game today has extended away from the basket and it's become a more perimeter-based game, the Grizzlies are playing to their strength of their perimeter group. But at the end of the day, a lot of their areas of success, winning through defense, winning through creating extra possession off of turnovers, limiting the opposition when it comes to their ability to find extra possessions, taking care of the basketball and good decision-making, and also doing it in a way by playing in the paint and getting high-percentage looks because of an overall lack of three-point talent, that's exactly how the Grizzlies won during the grit and grind era, and that's exactly how they're winning right now. Now, here's the thing. When the rest of the Grizzlies, you know, best talents come back, I don't anticipate that's going to continue. You don't want it to continue because there certainly are limitations to that philosophy. But it really is cool to see in a time of adversity, in a time of, you know, just overall negative situation because of how unlucky the Grizzlies have had, you know, when it comes to their injury luck, you know, in the bubble as well as now, This team has emerged as a success for the same reason that the team was so successful unexpectedly during the grit and grind era. A commitment to defense, a commitment to their style of play, making others play their style of play, and staying true to their strengths. And that has been all the difference for this Grizzlies team, and it's really shining through. So while I'm not going to say that this is truly a modern grit and grind, because there's so many other factors right now that make this, you know, Grizzlies team, this style of play different, there is a bit of fun nostalgia seeing this team win right now in the same way that we all became accustomed to and enjoyed for nearly a decade during the grit and grind era. But besides the overall effectiveness of this team on defense and on offense, Coach Taylor Jenkins has added a bit of value, though it may not seem that way. He's added a bit of value when it comes to his lineup decisions. In the third segment, I'm going to discuss how the Phoenix game really continues to show that Taylor Jenkins has a good feel for the pulse of this team and is willing to make changes on the fly to give the Grizzlies the best chance to win. The new year is here, and what that also means is that it's that we're in the midst of winter. And as we all know, when it comes to being car owners, that is a, you know, potentially worrisome time when you're using the car less, especially, you know, in today's age. You know, it's likely that you may run into car trouble. And while I, you know, hate to disappoint you that I can't tell you how to repair, you know, any car troubles that you may have, I can tell you where to go to find the parts that you need if you need them, and that's rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a great place because it's very easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you're going to find what you need, and it's more than likely RockAuto.com is going to have what you need, regardless of the make and model that you drive or the part that you need to repair. Now, if you're someone like me who has to get others to do the repairs for you, if you do your own repairs, or if you do repairs for others, regardless of your level of expertise, RockAuto.com is still a great source because they're likely going to have what you need. This is a family-owned business, and they're going to be affordable. They've been in business for over 20 years. They know car parts typically fall out of budget, so they're going to make sure that they have prices that are reasonable for you. If you go to RockAuto.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. March Madness is a few months away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first Big Board of the year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You know, it's funny that we're talking about, you know, the prospects in the 2021 draft. You know, just a few weeks ago, I think that we were all kind of, you know, I had mentioned in the second segment, our winning streak started back on January 8th. It seems like just, you know, a few days ago, we were all kind of starting the conversation, you know, getting ourselves ready to, you know, embrace another season in which it certainly seemed like the lottery was a destination. Well, now that seems to be, you know, kind of far-fetched. It seems kind of silly to assume that we're not going to be in the playoff picture with how good this team is playing. And one of the reasons why this team is playing well is because of Taylor Jenkins, you know, commitment to finding lineups that he is comfortable with in situations that he feels gives the Grizzlies the best chance to win. Now, the thing about it is this, is that if you look at some of the lineups that he's choosing, some of the players that he is preferring to play over long stretches, statistics just don't support it, and that's fine. Statistics a lot of times are meant to be a part of the equation to support the best decision being made instead of the sole source that you should base your decision on. One player that comes into mind that, you know, when it comes to Taylor Jenkins, his preference of him is clear, but it still is a bit suspect, is Grayson Allen. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that I know more than Taylor Jenkins. That's obviously not true. But obviously, when it comes to what Grayson does on the court compared to what others do on the court, like a DeAnthony Melton, like a Desmond Bain, even a John Concher or Tyus Jones, you know, Grayson just does not have as many areas to add success as those other players do. However, he does have success in the one area that Taylor Jenkins prefers overall, and that's shooting. And right now, just to be straightforward, Grayson Allen has a higher ceiling as a shooter when he's on. He has a higher ceiling than anyone not named Desmond Bane on this roster. But the thing about Diaz is that Grayson Allen's value on the court of any Grizzly, Grayson's value on the court is probably more tied to his shooting than any other Grizzly on the roster. In other words, when Grayson Allen is shooting, he's a big benefit to a team that needs as much shooting as possible. If he's not on, it's hard to see him in the rotation because he just doesn't add a lot of value elsewhere. But the thing about it is this, is that when he is on, this Grizzlies team gets an added element of benefit that it needs right now with Jaren Jackson Jr. out. And that's not only the combined shooting talent of Desmond Bane and Grayson Allen. It's not just about them getting the frequency of shooting 12 to 15 threes between them each game. It's the fact that with them on the court, the Grizzlies have the added aspect to their offense to where the three-point shot really can be the best shot of an offensive possession, and that's what can allow for them to get threes back to being at least a respectable part of their game that they're going to need against better talented teams. We saw it in last night's game against the Suns. Both Desmond Bane and Grayson Allen had multiple threes. And we also saw that Taylor Jenkins has shown a bit of a desire to get those two players out on the court at the same time to really give the Grizzlies multiple highly successful shooting sources when they're on to balance out the offense. We saw it a bit in the first quarter, you know, when Grayson and Desmond Bane were playing, and though there were not, you know, good initial results, they at least were out there together, and it made the Suns recognize that, hey, we can't just focus on the lane. We've got to be able to defend the three as well. It adds depth to this Grizzlies offense, an offense that needs as much depth as possible right now, with Ja Morant still working his way back and other really key offensive players like Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. on the bench. But the other thing about it is this, is that even though it may seem like there are better options than Grayson Allen that should be playing, Grayson Allen's play as of late has certainly warranted the commitment that Taylor Jenkins has towards him. You know, it's not just the shooting. It's also the shooting the three. Grayson Allen has shown, in my opinion, a better ability to get to the lane. His ability to drive to the basket and his decision-making on finding shots that work for him has really improved from last season. I know that there's a bit of a fallback, though, because, you know, he's still creating turnovers because, you know, he's not that used to passing on the drive, and it led to a few turnovers in yesterday's game. But the other big thing about it is that Grayson is continuing to show an improvement on defense. As I had mentioned on Twitter, last game against the 76ers, he's really done a much better job as a closeout artist contesting threes. Nobody's ever questioned Grayson's effort, but the intent of his effort, the effectiveness of his effort, it's really shining through on defense. It also shined through last night because as the Grizzlies were switching and the Suns were trying their best to get, you know, other, you know, potentially less talented defenders than Dylan Brooks on Devin Booker, Grayson Allen stepped up and he delivered, especially late in the game when Dylan Brooks was struggling shooting and Coach Jenkins put him on the bench just because he wanted to go with the hot hands and Tyus Jones and Grayson Allen. Allen had the responsibility of guarding Booker, and he did a great job supporting Dylan's efforts earlier in the game to really limit Booker from becoming a factor, which certainly played into the Grizzlies' ability to win. And of course, beyond his defense, is just the overall clutch play of Grayson Allen, and he showed it in multiple ways. In the final 3 minutes of the first half, just like the Grizzlies had done through Ja Morant against the Sixers to get a six-point lead going into halftime, Grayson Allen, though he did have a costly turnover, he made several plays that allowed for the Grizzlies to get a positive three. They had three more points than the Suns in the final 3 minutes of the second quarter. That was a big benefit to them getting a four-point lead going into halftime. And then, of course, to end the game, the big three by Allen, as well as the free throws to ice the game. But not only was it Allen, but it was also the inclusion of Tyus Jones. Basically, the Grizzlies went with Tyus Jones and Grayson Allen for a long stretch to end the game instead of Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks. I asked Coach Deakins about that after the game, and he mentioned that it was going with the hot hands, but it also was getting playmakers on the court to really make sure the Grizzlies stayed efficient. And that's exactly what they did. During the stretch in which Grayson Allen and Tyus Jones were playing, of course, you had Grayson Allen hitting the big three and hitting his free throws, but through Tyus Jones supporting Ja Morant as having two point guards on the court at the same time, the Grizzlies made the fewer mistakes. They made significantly fewer mistakes in crunch time, and that wound up being the big difference in the game. So certainly, the amount of time that Taylor Jenkins may use players can be frustrating when you look at it from a statistical standpoint. When you look at it, you know, even with your eye, there certainly are players such as Grayson Allen and others that when they're getting extended play, you see the good with the bad. But at the end of the day, kudos to Coach Jenkins for really knowing his team to know what lineups to go to in the right situations. Though overall, these lineups may not statistically be that productive, in certain situations they make sense. And last night, his ability to maybe not go with his best players, but the players that were best suited to support what he was looking to do in a critical time of the game, it really allowed for the Grizzlies to emerge victorious. And that's where depth comes into play. Though other players may make sense overall in certain situations, you know, than a Grayson Allen or others, when it comes to the depth, Coach Jenkins has the ability to utilize different lineup looks. You saw it last night. He was using certain players on defense, certain players on offense to end the game. That just shows the benefit of the depth that the Grizzlies had. And even if certain players may get extended playing time more than most might expect would make sense, the fact that they are getting the playing time in the certain situations that they are, Coach Jenkins certainly has earned the benefit of the doubt to be able to utilize his lineups in the way that he sees fit. And of course, the results over the past few weeks have done nothing but, you know, certainly supported how well he's made his decisions. So yeah, maybe a bit of eye-opening choices when it comes to ending the game last night, but it paid huge dividends, especially in the play of Grayson Allen, who overall has improved the different ways he can add value over the past week, and it showed up big last night in a victory for the Grizzlies. Obviously, that's something that we can continue getting used to when it comes to this Memphis team. You know, in time, you know, we're going to eventually lose again, but it's just nice to see how successful this Grizzlies team is being and that they're doing it in ways that you can certainly convince yourself are sustainable, even as their best talents come back. You can find the show again at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, however you choose to listen, we will be there. Until next time, can't thank you enough for joining us here at the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Hope you have a great Tuesday. Again, we will be back tomorrow discussing just how successful this team has been across the board when it comes to a team effort. But in the first segment, we're going to break down just why rookie Xavier Tillman has been so successful and impactful for the Grizzlies. That's the first segment, the team cohesion in the second segment. And in that third segment, we'll preview the Grizzlies' road trip to Portland as they face Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers. Until then, have a great day. And we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.